I'll kill all of you. All of you, I'll kill you. But he dare not say the same thing for Musa alayhi salam. Right? You see, anyway, Moshe said, أَجْعَلَنَّكَ مِنَ الْمَسْتُونِينَ. He'll imprison you. But Musa alayhi salam, he couldn't threaten him with death. Now, you look at it, one solitary person. And here there's jamaats and jamaats, crowds of people. To be one solitary person, he can't say it. Moses said, I'll imprison you. And that too, he didn't end up doing it. Right? He didn't end up doing it. And it's just one person. Right? So that's that divine protection. So in this whole equation, you have to hold to Allah Ta'ala. Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. Shaitan will not be able to control them. Maybe at times will hurt them, he may kill someone, may imprison someone. Yusuf alayhi salam imprisoned. Zakaria and Yahya alayhi salam were assassinated, right? And you may be able to hurt, right? The hurt of the beast muscle, right? But that's the furthest you can do. You can't control them. Now, the whole idea is control. Musa alayhi salam, when he stands in front, he speaks it, says it straight. He doesn't mince the words. He doesn't water down the words. He says, just believe and release. What? Believe and release. Release the Bani Israel. That's the true demands. He wants to know about Allah Ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam gives an explanation. Rabbu samawati wal ard. The Rabb of the heavens and the entire earth. Then why does he say this? He says this because you may be controlling the land, but who controls the heaven? Have you got any control there? So something for him to think. You don't control the heaven, you control this, right? But you don't control that. That, right? And the earth, رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the earth also is just one small piece that you're controlling, that's all. And the one piece that you're controlling has bloated you so much, according to your mind. So now, Fir'aun got nothing to say, you see. So when a person has nothing to say, can't answer, then he tries to turn the theme. قَالَ لِمَنْ حَوْلَهُ أَلَا تَسْتَمِعُونَ. See what he's saying? What I'm talking about, what he's talking about. Whereas Musa is giving an exact description, is introducing Allah Ta'ala, is showing who Allah Ta'ala is. Now, if you have no answer, then the only thing he can do is try to slip away. So see what I'm talking about. So Musa alayhi salam, because he's talking about Allah Ta'ala, and the greatness of Allah Ta'ala has dawned upon him, so nothing suppresses his spirits. His spirits are still as steady and strong. Now look at the power, and look at Musa alayhi salam. Alright. You want to know more? رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. So he chose the word Mashriq and Maghrib. The point where the sun rises and the point where the sun sets. So why did he say this? To show two things, right? One is to show that Allah Ta'ala controls space. First, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, right? So who is the controller of space? Allah Ta'ala. And then رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, is رَبُّكُمْ وَرَبُّ آبَائِكُمْ الْأَوَّلِينَ, first, right? So who controls time? You are here. Then you move on. Then someone comes and replaces you. So who controls time? So he controls space, he controls time. You're here, you're gone. You're here, you're not here, right? So you're not in control of time. There's someone else that controls you. Think about it. Someone, some other being that controls you. You're coming up and you're going. So it's not of your own. Think about it. رَبُّكُمْ وَرَبُّ أَبَائِكُمُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. See? So the answers are too perfect. It's too precise. It's too accurate. And Musa alayhi salam, his spirits are not just dampened. Although he's trying to change the theme, trying to maneuver and manipulate, right? But he's not. But also, you have to understand that when talking about the truth, you speak it, say it, then don't water it down. No, don't do that. You're talking about Allah Ta'ala. But so any influence or any type of wealth, don't water it down. That's why the self used to advise their students, right? Man atas sultan uftutina. You're going to go to the kings and monarchs, wealthy and influential, you go, you frequent the door, then at some point you're going to get into trouble. Your deen is definitely going to get affected. So you're going to the door, you're speaking to them, right? So at some point you want favors from them. And in this world, nothing comes for mahala. How the world works. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. That's how it happens. So you want some favors from them. You think they are blind. They see what's happening, that you want some favors, all right? Then you must sing our song. Hamari Geet Ko Gaye. Who plays the piper or the tune. So anyway, any person that went, illa mashallah, Musa alayhi salam went and Musa alayhi salam turned things around. Yusuf alayhi salam went and he turned things around. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah went and he turned things around. But you can't get people like Abu Yusuf, you can't get people like Yusuf alayhi salam, you can't get people like Musa alayhi salam. Say it. Sayyid ibn Jubayr went and he said it. Then he didn't mince his words. And he didn't want their favors as well. So, to say it as it were, exactly like that, and not to accept or desire any of their favors. No favor, that's why when Darul Deoband was founded. So, in the constitution that already recorded that we will not take any gift and any type of remuneration from any government body. At no point will we take anything from the government. So that we are totally free in what we want to say. Now you take something, you think that they don't know what's going on. You know what's going on. If you want something, alright. You must do something. You want something, then do something in exchange. It doesn't come for free. You have to sing our song. Mare geet ko gaani padega. Gaana padega. You have to sing our song. They ask you to stand for the cameraman, you must stand. Then you lose your independence. You lose your deen independence. Now we'll have to look, wouldn't make it try and legalize the thing. But you're going to legalize it for who? For who are you going to legalize? You're going to try and squeeze the deen to justify something. Squeezing something. So you can't maintain your complete independence. And you get these people who speak what they need to say. Mawla Yusuf bin Nuri Sahib rahmatullah alayh, he's in Egypt, right? He It's a time of Sadat. And Sadat took a liking for him. So Sadat says, you know, I would like that you be snapped with me. Blankly he refused. The king is asking that I would like that you be fought with me. You know, for an old person, what a thing. See, who asked? See. Normally people ask for that. As the king is asking that you can be snapped with me. Blankly refused. So now to stand your ground. Now, the person that is doing all these things, what they think, that will give something and take something. But it doesn't happen like that. You take it from us, it doesn't happen. Even the first MPL meeting was taking place in India, 1960-61. So, Mufti Saab Rahmatullah Ali was called to attend. So, he inquired, all right, what's it all about? So they say that it is the Muslim personal code. You know, things about divorce, inheritance, marriages, etc. So it's our personal thing, and we need to have something of our own. So Sab Rahmatullah, he's a Mufti, and he saw time, he saw people, and he saw things happening. Just before that, in the turn of the century, like 1930 somewhere, then Egypt, they began to control Ulama Ikram. They controlled, and they got them to do two things. One is, in the 30s, 40s, they got them to shave the beards, or take all the beards out. And they gave a front that this beard was just a Sunnat-e-Adiya. It was just the Adat of the Arabs. And the entire Ulama fraternity removed the beard. Now, to keep a beard is a disgrace now. So they turned the whole thing around. Now that was when you relent. See. When you relent, then you have to go to this extent. Therefore, there was 2-3 days, the boys had come after Isha. They're talking about Qirat and all that. So I said, see, the Qirat has got two dimensions. One is the recitation, right? And one is the message of Allah Ta'ala. The recitation must be right. But more important than the recitation is the message. Now if all your mehnat is only on the recitation, only recitation, high pitch. I was asking my grandson, you know, so I was not here for the jalsa, the Qirat jalsa. I was a Jodhpur at that time. So I said, how you found him? He said, he was a master at that time. He doesn't know the meaning. He started off slowly, dragging. And then he blasted. The child is talking now. I'm asking him, Karl Guzai, what happened? So the whole figure went into the recitation, nothing else. And bring it high. And where's the amal? Where's the application? Where's the understanding of the Quran Sharif? They twisted the whole thing, right? And it went to such a point, they controlled the ulama to such a point, that they had a Mufti Abdu there. So I spoke about this in the class. Some wise correct, he went and googled, yeah, this thing happened. It happened. I don't know how this thing works and all that. And he told me the exact date, 1930. So, they say all Buddhas, Hindus, everybody is slaughtering Sahara. Because at some point, Divya Kitab is also Hindus talk about Ved, right? They talk about it that it's a divine book. So now, because it's a divine book, they become Ahle Kitab. طعامكم حل لكم وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم. See, so they got them to do this as well. See how they control. Right. Then the control went to such a point, right, that in the major universities, in the major universities, Al-Azhar was so well known, recognized, it was like a small, you know, it was a historical thing, right? It went to that point that they got a department for Shia studies, recognizing it from the government level. You know, what we are saying, kufr, disbelief, etc., they got it as a proper study there. You see, now, when you get into this line here, then where are you going to stop? Is there any place that you're going to stop? Is there any place that you can hold the brakes? So, one, you shave the beards. One is the Quran, you left the entire explanation, the message. The Quran, what it's supposed to be doing to you, that you forgot it, you only went on the word. Everything else, you just left it one side, just discarded the whole thing. So whether a person has got a beard or no beard, not a problem. Whether it is a woman that is reciting, a man reciting, no problem. Just that he must have the voice. So the Quran, the meaning of the Quran, that becomes secondary. Just get the voice right. Get the voice right, that's all. Get the pitch right, shout and recite. And then, when the Quran Sharif is saying, or how the Quran Sharif must be said, وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِتْ بِهَا وَابْتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. He's asking you to shout, وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِتْ بِهَا وَابْتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ What is talking about? So it's a different thing what the Quran Sharif is saying, and this Qurra are doing something totally different. This is what the Quran Sharif is saying. وَلَا تَجْهَرْ. Look at that verse repeatedly. وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِتْ بِهَا وَابْتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. See what happens there. Then this whole thing then becomes a commercial thing. And you don't realize it. And Abu Dawud Sharif says that, hey, you Ajami, you Arabi, kullukum khayr, all your recitations good. And then there'll be a people, يَتَعَجَّلُونَهُ وَلَا يَتَعَجَّلُونَهُ. They'll be looking for a cash remuneration. People's praise, radio, television, money, cash, right? Competition. So they'll be looking for this. They won't be concerned about the hereafter. Now the Quran Sharif's effect is more than after that. You see, you know, people's lives just change. The whole, like a revolution took place in a person's life. The whole life was capitalized. One verse of the Quran. Fuzail ibn Iyaz is a leader of the Awliya Kiram. And initially he was a leader of the robbers. Just the verse, Alam ya'ni lil ladina amru, around the time of Tahajjud Salat. And just came across it. Hey, what am I doing? Life just took a turn now. Because see now where the life is. This thing just happened when Egypt gave itself to the West, America, etc., gave it to them. And then they began to dictate to them their religion. So this is what's happening now. That the Muslim countries or non-Muslim countries, they sold themselves to some superpower. So the superpower now in charge to dictate to your religion. They'll tell you what is interest. They'll tell you what is photography. They'll tell you what is business. They'll tell you what is right and what is not right. And you must do that. So who's the interpreter and the one that's giving the explanation of the Quran Hadith? These are the people. And then your local government will push you to do these type of things. You must do this. Talk like this. Say this and don't say this. But you see what happens. It starts off from there. And then it comes to the local government. This is throughout the world. And the local government then will sit down to you. See, at least in the 12th, 13th centuries ago, right? At that time, or say more, a little bit more than that, say 17th centuries ago, they separated the church from the church was separated from the kingdom, right? The king, this is the ruler, and this is the church. So the church don't interfere with us. But they gave the church the autonomy to speak freely. But they mustn't interfere in our affairs. In our politics, they mustn't interfere. But you speak freely. Now they reverse the whole thing, that the ruler will rule what is religion. He will tell the Pope, he will tell the pastor, he will tell the priest, this is what you need to say. They did that in Christianity, they did that in Judaism, now they do it in Islam. Look at it in Judaism also, I say they did it. How do you prove that? So one friend that comes here, so he does business with Jews, right? So he says, up to now they do this Ashura Rosas, right? So he tells me, but the Ashura Rosa is not like how we do it. We sumu li ru'yati wa aftiru li ru'yati. We will have to personally see the moon, sighting, right? And their Ashura is calculated in advance, years in advance, according to the calendar and all that, the birth of the moon, all that, that's already calculated in each class. This is the day. So therefore you find in the calendars, this is Yom Kippur, Yom Fala, 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 sorry. So that means there's someone else that's controlling them. It's no more the ulama and the rabbiyun that are controlling, it's someone else that's controlling. They will control their religion. Now here it's something exclusive with Islam. The Allah Ta'ala says, لَا يَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي قَائِمِينَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. There'll be a group that will be standing. And nobody will be able to turn them away. They'll remain, come what may. So the majority and minority is not the criteria. You know how people begin to say, we got so much of people, so much of influence. But no, that's not a criteria. كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِيَةً كَثِيرًا. So Allah is showing the criteria to اللَّهُمَّ أَصَّابِهُ, stand firm. Don't worry about the minority. Don't worry about the majority. What you need to do is stand firm. In the book of Nuh alayhi salam, مَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. When you see that, again, hordes and crowds of people, and just a handful of people are believing in Nuh alayhi salam. He's preaching on them 950 years. So is he worried about the minority and majority? Now we're talking about that. See? At the high level, at the ilmi level, you know, majority, majority, majority. Then you look at Musa alayhi salam, أَمَّا آمَنَ مِنْ مَا آمَنَ فَمَا أَنَا آمَنَ مِنْ قَوْمِي إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةِ. Isn't it? فَمَا آمَنَ مِنْ عَلَى خَوْفُ مِنْ فِرْعَوْنِ. It's a small group believed. So Allah Pak is showing the rule, كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلًا. And then Nuh alayhi salam, مَا آمَنَ. And you look at Musa alayhi salam, إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِنْ قَوْمِ. The idea is to remain firm. Don't worry about the odds, don't worry about the numbers, this side, that side, swinging numbers, don't worry about that. Are you standing firm? Our vision is getting all upside down. So many people, this person is doing this, that person, so many people are doing this. Some years ago, maybe about 8 or 10 years ago, so there was a Turkish delegation that came here. I think they came first to Gora, and now he brought them here. But they wanted to come to the Madrasa, he perhaps showed them. So the talk started off, so the one person that was there, he was the head of the Shia movement, perhaps the Gulen movement, for the entire Africa. So he was the main speaker. Then accompanying him was the Imam of the Midland. He was a big masjid they got in the Midland. He was there. And they went for the Turks. So now the discussion started. So as the discussion progressed, so I told him, see, I just want to inquire. There's some of your students that have been in this Gulen madrasas. And they moved away from there, they came here. So when they moved away, then we got a request from your head that these children must be sent back to them. So we approached those children. So I mean, they are big now, at least 20, 19 years of age, they are big. So we approached them and we asked them that your madrasa that you were previously, they are asking you to be returned, so why don't you go back? So they said, no, we can't go back. So I asked, is the food better there or the food better here? Sometimes the food is good, youngster is tempted, right? So no, the food is much better that side. Every meal you're getting a coke, you're getting chicken, good pieces, a lot of meat, all that. 2 hours satisfaction, 2 hours. Okay, now what else could be the draw card? Or the living conditions, are they better here or there? They also, the living conditions are much better there. And I didn't see myself. Someone took me to go and see. So I didn't see. Living conditions are better. Then why are you reluctant? You don't want to go there. I showed them, whatever could come into my mind, I asked. Living conditions, food. So he says, no, there's no sunnah there. So what's the point in staying there when there's no sunnah? Every week they give you a razor and a shave of your beard. Now, blacks, they normally like Mona Katani's beard for his fire. Lord Josh said. They like it, and I encourage them. For them it's good. For us also it's good, but they like it. Iman, it brings up the Iman, so on. You know, if we are caught with that, and they expel us, we love that bayan. So I'm listening to this boy now, and I have to discuss now this side. So they say there's no sunnah there, so therefore they left. So that Midran Imam, he got very angry. Now sometimes people say, these are all Amanat mustn't talk about him. But you don't know the meaning of Amanat. The hadith it comes, if someone is doing zulm, and you know about him, in Amanat he told you, you must go and expose him. Now, if making zulm on deen then it's an Amanat. Anything is Amanat. I told you in closed doors. Right? You're making zulm on deen, having zulm on a person. You might expect me to just bottle it up, close it up, expose the person. Because the same thing, you're going to market it elsewhere, the same product of his, the wrong product. You're going to market it here, market it that side, market it there. And then say, no, it's Amal, I can't talk about it. But understand what it is. These make exceptions. Someone is planning to kill someone, and he's told you in confidence, go and expose him. Is planning to make zina, will expose the person, expose it. Is planning to rob and cheat, will expose the person. That's not an amanat that. So people have misunderstood, they misuse this, misconstrued these things. That's why I say that maturity, dini maturity comes after very long, very, very long. whatever it is, I have to talk to all classes of people, right? Whether it's street, the person of the street or influential person. And you size the person up. In the discussion, you size the person up. You don't want to. But you make out of what his level of understanding. So that's why I say the majority is not coming. You're listening to bayans, listening to tapes, etc., reading books, going to madrasas, but the mind is not getting mature. I'm noticing it, every coming day I'm seeing that there's no maturity. But understanding, that what sound dini understanding is supposed to be having, that's not coming. In the past, maybe they didn't have so many facts, right? There wasn't so much of literature, but there was a lot of maturity, sight, vision, and a lot of maturity. So anyway, I have to talk to this Mudran. He's the head of the Gulen movement in the whole of Africa. So to him, see, this is what they are complaining, that there's no sunnah. So I could see now that that man is becoming red on the face. Imam is getting red on the face. And then he began to start off a topic, minority and majority. The majority, are they keeping beards or not? So then, if I say majority, I'm not keeping beards, so what's wrong? It's just an adat, that's what he'll go. That Nabi is not a simpleton. Quran is asking, فَمَا بَعْدُ قُرُونِ الْأُولَى. Or are you talking about Jannat, Jahannam and all that, and mushriks are going to dispatch to Jahannam. So ma balu quruni ula. So he wanted to trap Musa alayhi salam. He wanted Musa alayhi salam to say all of them are Jahannamis, right? So then this will incite the people. All of other Jahannamis. See that card that he was using, that button that he was pressing. The button was to inside. فَمَا بَعْلُ قُرُونِ الْأُولَىٰ. So, Musa alayhi salam didn't answer like how he wanted. إِلْمُهَا إِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي kitab. That knowledge, the detail of it, is by Allah Ta'ala. Allah Bang knows what they are like. See the button that he's pressing. Just think about it nicely. فَمَا بَعْلُ قُرُونِ الْأُولَىٰ. What Firon is intending? And how Musa alayhi salam covering up? إِلْمُهَا إِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي kitab. And remember, لَا يَذِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. Allah doesn't forget. He doesn't go wrong, nor does he forget. Now he's talking about, he pulled this card here, majority. So now I have to answer that, but very quickly. I had to answer it. I was in a rush also. So I told him, see, you're the Imam Sahib there, aren't you? He said, yeah, on the whole area. Majority of the people coming for Fajr or not coming for Fajr. If you go with that same principle, this Fajr namaz is maaf. Not even half. So now he started getting worked up. So that head of that division, head of Africa division, he could make out now, hey, this is not a safe territory. So we're very pleased to meet you. We ordered all that. There's some Turkish gifts. Class. So you see this government movement, when they're political and they want to push their politics into religion, so then you become just a player. You're playing for them. You're singing to their tune. When they push politics into religion, so then what's the end of you? Then they'll turn the thing, manipulate the thing, and then you must be the prey after that. You must do as they say. And we say, no, we maintain this from the Dioban. So therefore you find the color of the India-Pakistan ulama-i-kiram is different to all the Arab ulama. Color is different there. The aksaro ki dari ki koi tikana nahi. Most of the beers are not right. They're not implementing the sunnah. So 1983 or 84, there was a Rabita conference in in Linz, right? And it was a holiday, so we went to see Mufti Sahab Rahmatullah Ali in Rietfontein. So Mufti Sahab Rahmatullah Ali said, suna ke wo conference ho raha hai, aap gaye ki nahi gaye? Zara ja kar ke dekh lo kya ho raha hai. So we went. We don't go, he said, we want some permission. So they got all Arab ulama talking. Sheikh al-Tafsir, Sheikh al-Hadith. So nearly all of them got designer beards. We saw them before they came to the stage and after. Before they come to the stage, they were a three-piece suit, tie everything, no topi. Now, on the stage, they are different. See, this is the government, this is the custom made of the government ones. So a man has to think now, what he wants to be. Kya Abdul Dirham or Dinar? Ya Abdullah? Abdul Muluk? Ya Abdul Malik? What you want to become? So you want to be a toy of these people here, then carry on. Then they'll twist you around just like a Play-Doh. The mold they want to give you, they'll give it to you. And you won't have religion. So you'll have to mold yourself, you'll have to just turn yourself around and make yourself adjustable to how they want to adjust you. So you saw Musa alayhi salam, he's speaking in front of the king, and how he's speaking. Ibrahim alayhi salam, and how he's talking. They're not mincing their words. First, we'll have to just be a little bit soft to them, and they'll be lenient towards us in our deen. Forget all that. You just practice your deen and be firm. So the Dioban constitution, we're not going to take anything from you. Not 1 cent, not 1 rand. So they can't speak freely. They can practice their deen in India and Pakistan. But now you go show me in any Arab country, are you allowed to have any private madrasa? So you can't. What the state will teach you, that's your religion. The state will... So I have to see one Arab book, beginner's book. So I'm seeing now, they made a point, children's books, but they made a point to teach that small, impressionable mind, this is a swine, it's a pig. So I said, from all the other animals, why they thought about this thing here? Then it came to my mind, from that young, impressionable, innocent mind, that dislike for a swine must come out. Piggy, the hollow piggy and all that. So now, what happens? Before he had a natural aversion. Now, hollow piggy and all that, piggy bank and all that. So kya hua? Is there that aversion now? No aversion now. Then how long it will take him then to eat? Okay, so there are some things that it will appeal to any normal person. Unless you want yourself to be abnormal, then Allah Ta'ala hifaz kare.